Today's podcast is in partnership with Moolah. Moolah is an online publication that focuses on personal finance and enabling young working professionals to live a financially fit lifestyle. Visit moolah.co.ke to read, listen, and learn. It's the second quarter of the year. And although it's a bit late to say Happy New Year, it's definitely not too late to get your finances in order. In today's podcast, we speak to Felista Wangari. She's the lady behind the 52-week savings challenge, Ken Gishinger, an economist, and we also get insights from three avid savers on how they became disciplined savers. So stay tuned because we have loads of tips and lessons to share with you on how you can get into a habit of saving while still enjoying the little joys of life. 2020 was a tough year. The pandemic upended many parts of our everyday life, from health to jobs, businesses, and of course our savings were no exception to this. Last year, it was reported that the gross savings by Kenyans was at 8%. And this year, according to a forecast by Trade in Economics, it is estimated that the Kenyan national savings ratio will reach 11.7%. It's clear that savings is central to an individual's prosperity, but it's not that easy. So how do you start?
And when you talk about savings in Kenya, people think of, you know, the 1 million shillings I need for the wedding, the 1 million shillings I need for the car, and such big things. And what the mind really likes is the ability to break those down. You know, when you get maybe 100 shillings, put, you know, maybe 10 shillings separately. I think if you can be able to really learn these techniques using the small little money while growing up, I think it becomes part of our DNA, even now when we start planning for the big million shilling projects.
Ken, tell us about the time value of money and how inflation can erode the value of your 50,000 Kenya shillings today.
Time value of money really reminds us that for the amount of money we have right now, if we want to postpone it into the future, then we need to add a small percentage on it so that the effects of inflation are not felt. Because if we don't account for that, then that money loses value and you're able to purchase less because of rising cost of goods. So if I have 1,000 shillings and I'm going to get X percent, that X percent needs to be higher than inflation so that I don't get, my value is not eroded by inflation.
So then where can someone get this information? And why should this figure inform your decision on how you spend your money and where you put your savings?
Inflation is published every month, the last day of the month, and it was at 5.9%. So if you're getting, somebody's giving you a savings rate of 6%, 5.9 of it has been eaten by inflation. So it means you're only getting 0.1% in terms of real return. So it's not a very, very good offer. Because out of that 5%, 5.9 is eaten away by inflation. The way the inflation is calculated is using something called the Consumer Purchasing Index, where they look at you and the basket of goods you consume. They'll say, Ken, in the month of last year, he consumed A, B, C, D, and it cost X amount. Next year, the same basket of goods cost X amount. That means the prices have gone up by 5.9%. But human beings don't act like that. We are always changing in our tastes and preferences. Maybe last year you were driving more. Maybe last year you are cooking at home more. Maybe next year you'll be ordering out. So human consumption patterns are not static. They are constantly evolving. Maybe last year you used to go to the office more. Now you're working from home. So you find because of that changing nature of human behavior, the way we calculate inflation is not always accurate and tends to overstate. So naturally, when I hear it's 5.9 in my mind, I try to discount it by 2 or 3 percentage points because of that ability to change consumption preferences.
So then if I'm able to adjust my spending, then I should be able to manage that inflation, and the interest of 6% won't be so bad. Is that what I'm hearing from you?
Indeed. And it's in economics, it's called the substitution effect. And because of that substitution effect, we are always able to find cheaper and cheaper alternatives. So that's why I keep saying official inflation statistics sometimes tend to overstate the nature. And that's why you'll find there are people who've had the same salary for the last 5 years, but they're still living very similar lifestyles.
Felicita, today is all about savings, how to get started on that journey, and how to set your goals. Tell us about the 52-week savings challenge. I believe you started it about 5 years ago. What inspired you to start it?
Having grown up in a family where, you know, saving was a culture and things were done a certain way in terms of managing money, I assumed that, you know, most people had gotten that kind of nurturing and support from, you know, their family system growing up. And so I thought, oh, the only problem here is that people need some sort of positive peer pressure, some sort of support to stay consistent to their goal. And I realized that, you know, people were having difficulties with other money management issues. So I was tired of hearing people say that, you know, I can't save, I'm not able to do some simple things, because these were people that I knew, understanding their circumstances, because, you know, we were talking and that kind of thing. You'd get to find that, you know, if this person made a plan, like they would move from complaining about it's impossible to achieve this thing, like it's impossible to go back to school for my master's, how do people go on holiday? So I figured if this person made a plan, then they would actually achieve what they desire. But because, you know, they don't make the plan, it's year in, year out, 5 years down the line, same thing. So I thought, okay, why don't I get people together in a group where I can encourage them to work towards a goal that they desire to achieve.
So how does the challenge work?
So there's a standard chart that starts with 50 shillings, which is manageable for most people. Like if you tell someone to put aside 50 shillings today, as long as, of course, they have an income, then they'll say, oh, 50 shillings, that is manageable, I can do it. Of course, it gets harder over the 52 weeks. So week by week, you save. So you start with 50 shillings the first week, manageable. Second week, add another 50 to the 50 you had saved. So now you save 100. So you take each week number and multiply it by 50 or 100 or 500, because people, depending on their incomes and circumstances, are able to choose a different method. And so some people end up saving more than the 68,900. But the thing I want to say with 52 weeks is that people are not homogeneous. So people have different incomes. There are people who are considered low income earners. They are earners. They are the high income earners. So they all want to achieve specific goals which are so different from each other. And they all have different circumstances and different values. So what I tell people is you need to tailor it to your individual needs. Because there's someone who will tell me, I can't save every week. I would rather save per month.
How many people signed up for the challenge when you started? And what do those numbers look like now?
The members in the group would come and, you know, call more people to come and join. And so, yeah, and so it ended up growing much bigger. The shocking point was around October when I checked and saw the group is now made up of 70,000 members. That was September or October 2016. And yeah, that was shocking. Like, oh my God, how did we get to this point?
Wow, that number has gone up to 430,000 people. That's amazing. So what's the average age bracket of your members?
Generally, the average person who joins 52 weeks is they want to save money, most of the people. So they want to start with a basic of personal finance. They're usually around 25 to 35 years old. So these are people who are either, you know, just getting out of college and getting into the workplace or starting out in their careers or somewhere in the middle. So they are trying to form a foundation for the future as they start out in life or as they grow towards the end of youth. A lot of them then come in and start thinking, okay, maybe I need to save some money. Maybe I need to, as part of my, I only live once, I want to go to Dubai or I want to buy something and I don't have that lump sum. So how can I get to that point of, you know, achieving my desire?
So you partnered with M-Pesa and M-Shwari. What made you settle on them as your preferred savings partners?
Because then you have money that is flowing in your M-Pesa. And so, you know, having that then and having a way to say, so I have money in my M-Pesa, this kind of money is moving through my M-Pesa. What if I decided to save 10% of it and transfer it to my M-Shwari account? What if every amount of money that comes in to my M-Pesa, what if I decided to save a percentage? Or if I have, balance, like I've sent someone money that, you know, I did save 10% of it because it was the exact money that someone needed. But after doing all the payments, then I have 50 shillings left, doesn't quite have a job. So I'm going to send it to M-Shwari to do the job of meeting part of my savings goal. So if I go to the bank to deposit 50 shillings, I mean, I'm taking my time, my energy, or even if I use the pay bill, then I get charged to transfer the money. So it's easier, like, you know, to use the platform that is accessible in terms of if I transfer to my M-Shwari, then I'm not charged. And yeah, it's easier, like it's just on my phone. So if you're not earning any interest, then your money is losing value, which, you know, is not good for you because you should be preserving the value of your money and even growing that value even through investing. So when you're watching the business news, don't think, do we really need this? Yeah, follow those news. They do affect you at an individual level. Like when you know the rate of inflation, then you can make better choices about where you're saving.
Saving can seem like a huge challenge, especially if you don't have a regular income, or if you're supporting relatives, or if you're a single parent supporting a family on your own. So we asked Felista and Ken to share some tips on how you can become a better saver.
I think the challenge we have often is on January 1st, once we've said Happy New Year, we set these huge goals, but we don't break them down into small practical steps. And I think that's what's been lacking. I really believe in weekly, small weekly goals. So if I wanted to save that 50,000 shillings that everybody talks about, I need to ask what I do this week. Can I try and put in maybe 500 shillings or something? So I think the ability to break down a big goal into small weekly steps is probably the most important step you can take in achieving that goal, whether it's a savings goal or whether it's an investment goal. So really being able to say, okay, this week is a tough week. I might not be able to do 500 shillings. Maybe can I do half of it to 250? So it really depends on all those dynamics. And every week is very different. So I think that has to be one of the biggest tips towards savings? Just breaking it down into small weekly goals.
If you're employed, your income comes through payroll, you could have instructions, a checkoff to your SACO or bank account or investment scheme or whatever is accessible to you where, you know, your income comes through. You could have instructions, deduct this amount of money during each pay period, if it's monthly for most people in Kenya, have this amount deducted and sent direct to my savings, whether in the SACO, whether in the bank or wherever. And what this does is take away that decision from your plate. Like, I don't have to decide to save. It has already happened. In 52 weeks, we do a weekly reminder, have you saved? And a lot of people rely on that reminder, that pressure. Some people tell me, like, when they see my notification with that reminder, then it's like, you know, one of those loan apps calling them to tell them, why haven't you paid the loan? So, yeah, but now this is in a positive way, that when you see that reminder, that nudge, save now, then immediately, you know, you say, oh, I haven't saved for this week, or I have some money in my M-Pesa, let me transfer it to my savings. So, yeah, so those are other hacks in the environment that you can hack yourself in that way to help you be consistent. Last tip maybe I'll share is, I had mentioned it before, is self-awareness. Because sometimes the consistency comes from accepting yourself, knowing your weakness. This will not work for me. This will work for me. So you have to be, you know, very self-aware and keep reflecting on your decisions and your choices to make sure that you're doing the things that are helping move you towards the things that you value in life. And those are your goals in life.
Come up with what I call a weekly playbook. I don't know if you ever watch any of the sports, but if you watch some of the big sports houses, they'll tell you this team, the playbook for this week is A, B, C, D. So we need to resist this urge of always thinking about December being the place where I'll measure my goals. Can I make a small move this week? And what is that? So there's small, small, innovative things. And that's why I keep saying these are the small things you do weekly that over time they add up and they can really help you be able to make very good savings.
According to data from the Central Bank of Kenya, Kenyan households and businesses have saved an additional 483.3 billion during this pandemic. It's interesting to see this, given the fact that we're living in such uncertain times, where many people have had to deal with salary cuts, job losses, and even closure of businesses. Felista, how is this possible?
The strange thing about the pandemic, of course, there are lots of people who are affected with job losses, business closures, reduced incomes due to salary cuts, or even being told to work without pay for the time being. So there's a lot of that. And then there's another group of people who, for them, the pandemic was a wake-up call. Like, oh my God, I need to start saving. So we have lots of people who have come and said, I started, you know, I never used to save before. I've even been in 52 weeks. I was just, you know, watching other people. But now, with the pandemic, suddenly I realized the importance of having that cushion, or the importance of having, you know, a buffer. Will it give you one day of less stress? Will it give you a month? Will it give you 3 months? Will it give you 6 months? Will it give you an year where you can, you know, work on, you know, your next steps without having to worry about whether you're going to eat? So it's good to understand where you are now and whether you need to make adjustments that help you, whether it's to take a break or to optimize how you're spending your money in terms of, are you getting more value for less money? Are you spending better? Are you making better choices about where your money is going? Are you focusing on the needs? So look at where the money is going and then ask yourself, is this really a need at this point, given the situation? Or is it something that I can do without? It's not essential. So yeah, so it's important to have those conversations with yourself, focus on what is needed and what is essential.
Ken, what do you think?
There are two strategies that you need to look at when saving. You need to look at the income side. Can I increase my income or my expenditure side? Can I reduce my expenditure? So savings can come from any of those. So you need to ask yourself, again, back to our weekly playbook. This week, can I find an opportunity for reducing my costs? Maybe you don't find any opportunity, but maybe you can say, but there's an opportunity maybe to be able to increase my, and you can say for increasing my income. Maybe I can have conversations on my career, or maybe I can try and maybe I'm also looking for a new job that is paying better. So even those things are really helping you. Or maybe I can do a side hustle or a side business that is able to give me some additional income.
27-year-old Joel took the income route that Ken talked about. He has a full-time job, but decided to supplement this by starting a side hustle.
Having that little something somewhere, I think it can help you when some things go bad. When I started savings in 2019, I was finishing up my diploma. And then I really had this side hustle business for photography and video coverage. So I really needed money for my education and also to buy equipment and finance also the business as well. So per month, ideally, I was saving around 10,000 per month. 5,000 would go for the education side for my school fees, and 5,000 would go for the business as well. We had already some equipment. So what was the challenge? I think logistics, and we were saving to refurbish our studio, because we were using a home studio, but it was not really nice. I think it needed something like 40,000 to 50,000 to put it, and in a way that we really would love the clients to enjoy our services. And for my school fees, I was paying my school fees per term, per semester, that is, after every 4 months. And I was saving up to 30,000 per month, per 4 months, so that you could add up with some, then nilipe uko kwa school fees. What you have to do really is to be disciplined with yourself, and you have that focus, because you know you are saving this money for a certain thing. You'll just have to budget for yourself the money for your entertainment, but when it really comes to the saving money, you just have to be disciplined and focused about it. That way you will prosper. I think the most important thing is, when you fall, don't just stand there and say, let me leave it to others to continue saving. Just pick up from where you fall and start over again. That way, even if you'll not reach that target, but at least you'll have something nearer the target.
Every day, Joel was saving 100 bob in his lock savings account. In addition to that, he was also saving with a chama, where each member would put aside 2,000 bob every month with the intention of saving. So at the end of the year, everyone would walk away with 24,000 Kenya shillings.
You just deposit 2,000 every month. Like if it's end of year, the whole members come in, we count how much is in, and then we divide by the number of the members that are there.
So let me get this straight. You have a full-time job, you had just started a business that needed capital, and you had school fees, among other bills to take care of, but you still managed to save. Aye, Joel, hey, you must have a very good source of income.
not really, but I thank God at least if I could pay my rent, I could pay my transport, and get at least some amount to go treat myself, labda nijipeleke out, nikunywe cocktail moja, And that's it. It's not bad to save. It's good to save, but you really have to have a goal when it comes to savings. Don't just save because you're saving, because utapotea hapo katikati. Utajiuliza, what are you saving for? Hakuna. Si utumie basi 10K, nunua kitu ingine, ama enda holiday, ama enda retreat na watu. Najua watu wakona, kuna watu kuwa wamejipanga, but wanangojea tu mtu mwenye hajajipanga. So mtu atakuwa amejipanga na pesa yake ingine ameweka, na kwambia, by the way, minenda retreat. Ni pesa ngapi? 5K. So wewe hauna goal. Acha sinitoe tu 5K hapa. Nitaongeza tena next month. So unatoa 5K yako yenye ingekusaidia mahali, unaenda retreat. Yeye akona yake yenye ashasave, ashaweka. Hii 5,000 anakuwa ameweka tu entertainment tu ajibambe. So wewe jua una goal na wewe una chip in tunaenda. At the end of the day unapata mtu amefanya an investment na wewe uko hapo unajiuliza, si tulienda na yeye retreat, yeye inakuaje amefungua biashara? One thing with money I came to realize is when you want to save, just save. Ukitaka kutumia pesa, budget for it, ujue tu ile pesa unajibamba nayo ni pesa gani.
Before COVID hit, he was saving a total of 10,000 shillings every single month. But after he got a pay cut, he had to reduce that amount to 6,000 Kenya shillings.
Money is good, money is bad. Na pesa iko na temptations. Kwanza ukikuwa nayo kwa mfuko ama kwa mkono, sijui watu wanatoa wapi form. But once mtu amejua tu, hata ukilipwa tu end month, kuna venye mtu ni kama anajua uko pande nyingine. Unasikia tu mtu amekupigia, by the way, unaweza nipatia pesa fulani, unaweza nifanyia hivi. But one thing is I think discipline ndio imenisaidia juu. There is no specific time ya kusave. Ama ati itafika mahali uambiwe sasa hii ndio time. Sasa umefika 25 unafanza kuanza kusave, no. Hata ukikuwa mtoto, I think kuna some families which have really initiated this culture at a very tender age. Unapata mtoto anaambiwa unapewa hii 50 bob, unaweka 30 bob kwa mkebe kwa nyumba.
So what I'm learning from this is that it's possible to make savings a part of your lifestyle. You don't have to live a very frugal life where you deny yourself everything.
You must save for emergency, for progression in life. And maybe even sometimes, even if you want to go for a holiday. One aspect about saving, you just don't save because it is stylistic to save. You save because you have an intention. You want to do this thing. You have a target of doing this thing in a certain period. So without target, without what you want to do, you can't save.
That's Daniel. He grew up in a home where his parents encouraged him and his siblings to get into entrepreneurship from a young age. During the school holidays, he would do small jobs to earn some money. Money that he would later enjoy when he joined university.
By the time I was doing my university, I actually was able to, from my saving, I was able to pay my upkeep for first semester.
In addition to having an 8-to-5 job, Daniel has different sources of income. Because of this additional income, it has enabled him to set weekly and monthly savings goals. Before the pandemic, he would save anywhere between 200 to 600 shillings a day, and this would translate to 1,400 to 1,800 a week.
Monthly, through a SACCO, I could be able to save around from 3K up to 7K, that's from different line, and another one for around 1K per month. The best methodology I've always preferred is maybe using SACCOs. They are much easier. I think I have around 3 circles. One for my transport, the other through the church, and the last one through my employment. They are very good because the best part is the income is deducted from the source. So you're only getting the income, the last bit.
How did you do this, Daniel? Building his home was Daniel's biggest dream. And 2 years after getting into employment, he was able to start saving some money to help him kickstart this dream.
I was able to squeeze myself a bit for quite a bit of entertainment. So monthly, between 2007 November, in exactly 2 years, by around 2009 August, I had been able to save on average of around 10,000 per month. So that's what I was around, how much? It was around 20 something. I took a bathroom of around 700. Then I also got some boost from my brother. I was able to buy a land for around 1.something million. That was around 2009. Immediately I was able to acquire that land. The expansion of the car would, it started. And the land which was bought by around 1.25, it is possible. You only need to have a vision. Maybe you take, you could understand, but this is the thing I want to do. Because immediately I got employed, I was so pissed up with landlords, especially the way they were mistreating me and my wife. I was just freshly married. So one of my key determinations between two was 208 and 209 was to get out of that, to get out of a rented house. And believe me, I was able to make it. Make income, low salary, and I was saving because in Nikona Kakan, quite a cheap house. I think I was paying around 3,000. And it was a total pure sacrifice. It's not a bed sitter. Yeah, it's one a single room for a single thing for around 3,000 or 4,000, so that I can be able to save. So by the time Nipata Mtoto and before she started crawling, I was already my one in my three-bedroom house. That's one of the things that I have been able to achieve. You only live once in a life, but you don't go to the extreme. Who is the Nima Kabisa? Surely, who is the Kona Kuja Ati? You can't go for an out or no. You must take the balance. The only thing is, there's nothing about the point, you are not supposed to, in everything, don't go to the extremes. The most important thing is live within the budget.
Janet works in the sales industry. From an early age, she learned how to save, regardless of how little she was earning at the time.
Saving helps me not to stay in debt, and also it helps me to buy what I can without so much hardships or so much hassle. I save my money in the bank. My salary account is in cooperative, so I took a saving account with them. They have a product called Kima account, where I put my standing order. Once my salary is the account, I've set some amount which goes to my saving account. The reason I chose Kima is because you can only withdraw after 3 months, and it's over the counter, so you won't be just withdrawing money any day, any time, and also going to the bank to queue. It discourages you to do so. Also, it earns you some small interest over time. I save in chamas, you know, women in chamas. So we have an office chama with some of my colleagues, and I have another chama with some other four ladies, the five of us. We save and do some table banking amongst ourselves. I save with a goal in my mind. I want to achieve some things, something which needs finances. Some need big finances, and savings one of the basic way to finance what I need to buy or to acquire.
In 2017, she started saving with the 52-week savings challenge, and from her savings, she was able to buy some property.
I've bought a piece of land somewhere, and I'm doing some small farming, thinking of going commercial in 1 or 2 years to come.
Although for most people the pandemic significantly affected their finances and prevented them from being able to save, Janet was fortunate to have benefited from the tax relief that the government offered. For her, this came as a blessing.
So my savings were not affected in any way. In fact, when the government gave us the 5% tax relief, I immediately added it to my savings, like I added to my standing order. And now if I check the balance, I can smile. And me, I do enjoy my money. Oh, yeah, I save like 2,000 every month for my holiday. So every year I have to go for an holiday in Mombasa. Mombasa is my favorite destination. At the end of the day, it is you who works for that money. So you have to enjoy, because as you do something, you buy yourself a nice dress, a nice pair of shoes, you go for a massage, or you go for that holiday. It motivates you to save more. I used to earn 10,000. And to me, this was big money, because after high school, I stayed for several years without going to college because we lacked school fees for me to further my education. I did all sorts of menial jobs, being a maid. Yeah, I did. I did a house help job. But I was always determined that one day I will get out of it. It was a stepping stone. And immediately I thought, now I can save and go to school. And immediately I opened my first account because we were being paid in cash. So after they deducted NSSF and NHF, I used to remain with 9,580. And I opened an account and I saved 3,000 religiously for 1 year. So with that money, I was able to register for my certificate at the Kenya Institute of Management. And I, as I did my first certificate, I saved for the second one. Thank God, as the second year was ending, we were given a pay rise to 15,000. So the saving I had to increase because I was to enroll for my Diploma 1 and Diploma 2. So after 2 years, I got my diploma in marketing management and a distinction for that matter. And it was only through saving. Saving is a sacrifice. You have to sacrifice something to get.
Many of us are guilty of only thinking about today, but planning for the future is an equally important step. And so we hope that you learned something from today's episode. Thank you for listening to the Safaricom Newsroom podcast. For more interesting stories, visit our website at newsroom.safaricom.co.ke. See you soon!